You're listening to Awakened to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Today, Jeff Fish continues our series on God the Son, focusing on his role in both creation and incarnation. The Son was not only present in the beginning, he was active in bringing all things into existence. And in the fullness of time, he humbled himself to step into that creation, taking on flesh for our redemption. Our key verse is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another day of Awaken to Deliver. Yesterday, we laid the foundation by asking the question, who is God the Son? We saw from Scripture that he is eternal, distinct from the Father, yet fully divine. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. But today, I want to zoom in on two profound realities: the Son as Creator and the Son as incarnate. Because these two truths, his role in creation and his coming into creation, reveal the full glory of who he is. So let's start with creation. Our key verse is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, which says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." This passage is stunning. It doesn't just say the Son was present at creation. It says that everything was created by him, through him, and for him. By him, he is the divine agent of creation. Through him, he is the means by which all things came into existence. And for him, he is the goal and purpose of creation itself. That means the galaxies were made for him. The oceans and mountains were made for him. Every star, every planet, every angel, every human, all were made for him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this truth is also echoed in John chapter 1, verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Think about that. Not even one thing existed apart from him. Not the smallest atom, not the mightiest star, not the unseen spiritual realm, all came into being through the Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 confirms this. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So when we say Creator, we don't only mean the Father spoke, we mean the Son is the Word by which creation came forth. Genesis 1 says, "And God said," and John 1 tells us who that Word is, the Son. But here's what's even more incredible. The Son who created all things also sustains all things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Why does gravity hold? Why do planets orbit? Why do cells function? Why does the universe remain in order instead of collapsing into chaos? Because the Son upholds it by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says the same. He upholds all things by the word of his power. This means that creation is not just a past event. It's an ongoing reality. The sun didn't just build the universe like a clockmaker and then walk away. He sustains it every moment, and without him, everything would unravel. Now let's turn to incarnation. John chapter 1, verse 14 declares, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the great miracle of the Christian faith. The eternal Creator stepped into his creation. The one who spoke the stars into being was born under them. The one who formed humanity from the dust took on human flesh. The one who gives breath became dependent on the breath of his lungs. This is staggering. No other religion even comes close to this claim. Other religions may talk about God's appearing like men, but only in disguise. The Bible says that the Son actually became man, fully God and fully man. Why did he do this? First, to reveal God. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him." Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 9, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father." The incarnation means God is no longer distant. He is no longer hidden. He is revealed in the Son. Second, to live the sinless life that we could not. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "He was tempted in all things, just as we were, yet without sin." He became man to stand in our place, to live in perfect obedience to the Father, to succeed where Adam failed, where Israel failed, where we fail. Third, to die for our sins. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil." God cannot die, but in the incarnation, the Son took on humanity so that he could die in our place. And fourth, to sympathize with us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brothers, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." Because he became man, he knows our weakness. He understands our pain. He can comfort us as one who has walked in our shoes. Now let's take a moment to marvel at the humility of this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 says, "Who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross." The Creator humbled himself to become creature. The eternal Word emptied himself, not of his divinity, but of his glory, his privilege, his visible majesty, to take on the form of a servant. Think about it. The Son who spoke light into existence was willing to be laid in a dark manger. The Son who created oceans was thirsty on the cross. The Son who made every tree hung on one, made into a crossbeam. This is humility beyond comprehension. But let's not miss the purpose. Through him and for him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says that all things were created for him. That means that the incarnation was not a plan gone wrong. It was not God scrambling to fix what sin had broken. It was always the plan that the Son would step into creation to redeem it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 says that he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he set forth in him regarding his plan of the fullness of the times, to bring all things together in Christ, things in the heaven and things on the earth. The incarnation is not just about saving individuals. It's about restoring the whole creation under Christ. So how does this apply to us today? Well, first, it means that our worship should be deeper. The one that we sing to is not only the baby in the manger or the man on the cross, but he is the eternal creator. When you worship Jesus, you worship the one who made the stars. Second, it means that our salvation is secure because the Creator himself became Redeemer. The one who made us is the one who remade us. Third, it means that our suffering is not meaningless. The God who upholds galaxies also walked through pain, betrayal, hunger, fatigue, and death. He knows what it is to suffer, and he walks with us in our suffering. And fourth, it means that our lives have purpose because all things were made for him. That includes you. Your life is not an accident. Your story is not random. You were created by him and through him and for him. Now let me bring this home with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Creator became man. The man endured the cross. The risen Son sits at the Father's right hand, and he will one day bring all creation to its ultimate goal, to glorify him. So here's my challenge today. When you look at the world around you, the sunrise, the stars, the people that you meet, remember, it was made through him and for him. When you think about your salvation, remember, the eternal word became flesh for you. And when you pray, when you worship, when you walk through your day, let this truth sink in. The creator of the universe became part of his creation to save you, to love you, and to bring you home. Tomorrow, we are going to move into the heart of redemption and talk about the Son's role in salvation, how his life, death, and resurrection are the only way to God. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awakened to Deliver. We pray today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. If this podcast has blessed you, please consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. To stay connected and explore more content from Awakened Bible Ministries, please visit the link tree in the podcast description. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time donation through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly partner through Patreon or DonorBox. DonorBox also provides a new way for our international listeners to partner with our ministry safely and securely. All giving options can be found through the link tree. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.